Today we are going to, as we get into our summer series, the children's stories, and we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11. Our scripture is actually found in verses 8 through 10, and we'll get to that in a couple moments. But today we're going to be talking about one of those characters of faith. You probably heard about him when you were in Sunday school or in children's church and stuff. And there's a song that the youth and the kids, they really love to sing. So I'm going to ask you if you would all stand and join with me. Once I start singing it, and yes, I'm going to sing it, you all are going to know what it is. You don't want to hold Bibles in your hands. You want to make sure you got room around you, because we are going to sing, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, right arm. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. Let's do all. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left foot, turned around. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right foot, left foot, turn around, sit down. There's all kinds of other lines. I mean, you nod your head and you do all kinds of things. And you know, kids and youth, I'm going to say this now because I was watching your faces. I'm doing this. Even adults love to sing that song. There's just something. There's fun. There's energy in it. You get a chance to just act really silly and to be kind of ridiculous while you're doing it. And you're all still smiling from doing that. We may have to do that more often. It's just a fun song to sing. But you know, there is a very deep biblical truth found within that song. And that is that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is a child of Abraham. He is their father. I'm going to read through our scripture. Normally, I would ask you to stand. If you feel like standing, you're more than welcome to. Some of you are probably trying to still catch your breath from singing that song. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. It reads like this: By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as in his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city whose architect and builder is God. Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. If you belong to Jesus Christ, again, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are a son or a daughter of Abraham. And that's exactly what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4. He says, Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. What Paul was saying was that Abraham was the father of all of those who have faith in God. First, for the Israelites under the Old Testament. And then for all those who believe in Jesus Christ, in the New Testament and beyond, we are still living in the New Testament until Jesus Christ comes. Remember that. And it was through Jesus that the promise to Abraham was fulfilled that he would be the father of many nations. The focus is on faith. The focus of this entire chapter, this entire series, is on faith. God wants us to be a people of faith. And he chose Abraham to be an example of what faith looks like because he was going to be the father of all those who believe. So what is it about Abraham's faith that we need to copy? What is it about Abraham's faith that we somehow need to model? Well, it's important to realize that it wasn't what Abraham did. Tim, I'm popping off a lot, aren't I? See if I move it up, if it goes away. It was why he did what he did that made him our example. You see, just like Abel and Enoch, who we spoke about earlier on in this series, Abraham didn't really do all that much. He didn't build any massive mansions or these temples or any great cities. He didn't even own any property except for a simple cave at Machpelah that he bought from the Hittites so that he could bury his wife, Sarah. Hebrews 11, chapter 9 tells us, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents. You get it? He lived his entire life as he's moving around. He lived in a tent. And that's all he had to live in because he literally was living in a foreign land. But if he didn't have all that much and he didn't really do all that much, then why does God think that he was all that impressive? Well, Hebrews 11, 8 says it this way. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive as his inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Think about that. Let that settle in for just a moment. He believed God, and then he obeyed God. And he obeyed God and left and moved, even though he didn't know where he was going. Here's the thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 says, the eyes of the Lord, it runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You see, God was looking for a man just like Abraham. He was looking for someone who would be loyal to him. What does it mean to be loyal? Well, a loyal friend is someone who will be there when you need them. Someone that I can count on. Someone that I can ask for help, and that person would show up. Abraham, he was just that kind of a guy. He would show up. He would be there. He would be there for God. If God said, hey, I need to have something done, then Abraham was the kind of guy who would say, okay, God, where and when? I will be there. You can count on me. And so when God told him to go from his country, his kindred, his father's house, and to leave that place and to just go to a place that God would show him. That is exactly what Abraham did. But let me repeat this. Abraham obeyed God, even when he didn't know where he was going. God had called Abraham to leave his comfort zone and to do something for him. And so the question for you this morning, the question for you to think about, to ponder over, if God called you to do something for him, would you do it? If God called you to do something for him, would you do it? Now, God is calling all of us to do something. We don't really know what all it is. Would you leave your comfort zone? Go and do something challenging because you were loyal to God? See, back in 1988, a long, long time ago, Lisa and I, we left the island of Guam. We felt God was calling us to go be missionaries in the United States, if you want. And we were going to be youth leaders. And so we left. And we had to pack up all of our belongings or sell all of our belongings. We left the island of Guam, which was home for us. We left both of our families behind. We left the church behind. I had a decent job and stuff like that. I tell you, Lisa left her job, but her job actually helped us to move. And we left everything that we knew our whole lives behind to go follow God and to go to Vallejo, California. Since then, God has moved us several other times, and lo and behold, in 95, he planted us here. And we will stay here, and we'll serve God and do everything we can until he calls us to move somewhere else. You have people like the Bistertons who, when we were on Guam in the early 90s, while we were there, they showed up, and they were missionaries that God had called to leave Canada and their family in Canada and go to Guam, and they were pastors of the church there. They eventually moved to Yap, where, get this, they actually started a Christian school on the island of Yap, which is one of the top schools in the area. Everyone is trying to get into the school. People like the Kemmers, who travel around through South America and through parts of Africa, teaching people about moringa. How, not only about moringa and how it is healthy for them, but how they can grow moringa and they can actually use it to make a living by selling it. People like the Sisons, who in 2000, when our church actually sent a missions team to the Philippines, John and Jan were there, and he helped arrange all these things for us to do, and went into the squatter zones, into the dump, and we did all kinds of things. John and Jan were there. They have now moved to South America, South Africa. I always get that. It's South Africa, where they're working in Johannesburg, and Jan has actually started a clinic. And when you talk with these people, you can see the excitement in their voices. You can see the enthusiasm as God has been calling them and guiding them and directing them, and as they faithfully follow the things that God has been doing with them. And you might be sitting there saying, I can't do stuff like that. I can't go and teach people about moringa and how to grow it and how to market it. I can't go and start a school or start a hospital or a clinic or any of that kind of stuff. And you know what? That's perfectly fine. That's all right. Abraham didn't do anything like that either. God didn't send him out to the mission field to do any of that. God didn't ask him to do any of that kind of stuff. God just simply asked him to do something that he could do, and that was to go. Go to a foreign land. Go to a place that I will show you. So what could you do? What could you do for God? Think about it. God has gifted you somehow. He's calling you to do something. Someone once wrote a poem about this kind of thing. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something I can do. I'm going to bring it here for a moment. We're a small church. We really are a small church. And we can't help everyone. We can't do everything, but we can help one person. And if we just help one person, we're doing the one thing that we can do. And we're changing a life. And who knows what that one life may lead to and what may change down the line. Amen. So let's be faithful to do whatever it is that we can do that God is calling us to do. The question is, can God count on you to do that something? Can you be loyal to your God and step up and step out of your comfort zone? Now, it may seem a little bit selfish, but let's ask the question, what's in it for me? It is a fairly legitimate question. What is in it for you if you follow after God or if you obey God? Well, Hebrews 11:6 tells us, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, God rewards those who diligently seek after him. And he rewards those who do things for him. Now get this, you're not doing whatever it is you're going to do, whatever it is you're doing, you're not doing that because you want the reward. The reward just happens to be the byproduct. You are doing what you do for God because you love him and because he loves you. And whatever happens over there, it just happens. Amen. For example, notice what God promises to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, where we find part of this narrative on Abraham. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, just contained there within those verses are at least five promises that God made to Abraham. Essentially, God was telling Abram, if you do this for me, then I'll do all that for you. And so what is it that God will do for you if you do stuff for him? I can't even begin to tell you. God is fairly creative in things he does. I have no idea what he will do for you, but I know what he has done for Lisa and I as we have traveled around. He has blessed us. He has provided for us. He has always taken care of us. And you know what? He always will. Amen. We don't have to worry about it. But I tell you what, if I had a friend, if I had a loyal friend who was willing to do something for me, and I found out that person, that they needed something, then I would find a way to help them. I would just find a way to do that. If they were doing something, if they were willing to help me, then I would find a way to help them. And I can guarantee that God is the exact same way. If he knows that you need help somewhere, if he knows that you need something, I am sure that he is working and he will find a way to make it happen. Who better than God to help have your back and to do things for you? Paul actually wrote to the Philippians, and he praised them in Philippians chapter 4. And he says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, this isn't one of those name it, claim it, these health and wealth type messages, prosperity type things. That's not a promise. That's what we're talking about here. It's simply saying that when you do stuff for God, when you are moving in your life, when you are working for God and doing things for God, then God will help to meet your needs. He will take care of you. Amen. Sound familiar, doesn't it? You're all singing that hymn in your head right now. I know it. Another thought. Abraham's objective when he did all this, when God called him to go, was to enter into the promised land. And here is a picture of an ancient gate. It's a city. It's in one of these cities on the northern side of Israel. It's the oldest known gate in the promised land. They actually call that, not the one in the front, okay, the one in the back there. They actually call that Abraham's gate. Some scholars say that this is the gate, a city that Abraham would have had to pass through. So as he's making his way from Sodom and Gomorrah to Haran, when he's making his way, he would have to pass through this gate to get there. It's a major tourist attraction. As you can see, well, you can kind of tell, this gate, they've got this great big domed arched covering over it, trying to protect it from the elements. In the front, this kind of lighter gray area here, this is a mock-up of what they suspect that gate would have looked like when it was first built. There are three major trade routes leading through Israel, and this gate was along one of those routes. It was the middle route, and again, it makes a direct line from Sodom and Gomorrah all the way to Haran. And so it seems the most likely route that Abraham would have taken to get there. He would have had to pass through this gate, Abraham's gate, as he's making his way down to the promised land. I'm going to take this a little bit farther. You see, there was a way for Abraham to enter into the promised land. Maybe it was along this route. Maybe it was a different way. We don't really know which way God called him to go, but maybe it was along this route. Maybe he had to pass through that way and through that gate. But you see, there was a way. And there was a gate that Abraham had to pass through to get to his destination. And that was the only way, because that was the way that God was leading him through. And it would be the only gate, because that is the gate that God would have taken him through as he was making his way into the promised land. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter in by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Jesus was saying, there is a way. There is a way for each and every one of us. There is a gate. Make sure that you pick the right one. Here's my point. We don't really know which way Abraham went. We don't really know what gate Abraham went through. How he made his way to his destination. But I do know this. There is only one way to get to heaven. And there is only one gate that gets you into heaven. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you want to go where God wants you to go, if you're following after God, if you're journeying and you're going where God leads you to go, you've got to go by his way. And you got to go by his gate. And Jesus is the only way. And Jesus is the only gate. And I will guarantee that sometimes on our journeys in this life, there are a lot of bumps in the road. There are a lot of detours, a lot of little obstacles that get in the way. But Jesus is the way. And even through the hardships, follow after him. Hebrews 11:10, as we wrap this up, says that Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. You see, all of his life, Abraham lived in a tent. He lived in this temporary structure because even the place where God led him to in the promised land, it was not his final destination. He was looking forward to a heavenly city for Abraham and for us. It was like the difference of spending a night in a Motel 6, a few nights in a Motel 6, and then getting to spend all of eternity in an elegant mansion. So as you're on this journey, there'll be bumps, there'll be things along the way, but we look beyond the journey sometimes and we look to what our final destination is going to be. Heaven. And I can only imagine what that is going to be like.